Good morning, everyone. I forgot to pray for Pastor Brian, who's managed to make his whole family sick. We're going to lay the blame on him. He's the head of the household. He's responsible. So, and a couple of other things that I just wanted to mention. I'm going to go ahead and proactively cancel my Tuesday night class and Wednesday Bible study. My Uncle Jim died this week, and I really want to go to the funeral, and I haven't figured out how I'm going to get there by tomorrow afternoon. The airplanes are not cooperating, but I think I'm still going to believe by faith that I'm going to be able to get there. I really want to be present for his funeral. He was 91. And love Jesus, so we're not weeping as those who have no hope. Amen? We're rejoicing because, as I mentioned in a post the other day, he's the last of my mom's generation. When he died on Friday, he had four brothers and sisters awaiting him, ready to greet him, and one of them was my mom. So I think I'm just going to go ahead and cancel those classes in hopes that I can somehow make it to North Carolina. The other thing that I wanted to mention is that I have a very good friend who is in Haiti right now with a mission team. And if you've been following the news, you're aware that there's a great deal of unrest in Haiti right now. All of the flights into the country have been canceled. They thought they were leaving today. Their flight out was canceled. They could not get to the airport because of roadblocks and gangs of men burning and pillaging. They're safe. They're in a safe place at this point. But I'd like to ask you to pray with Fred Stapleton and his team down there doing a really good work in Haiti. And this kind of popped up after they got there. And always pray for our mission teams when they are in different parts of the world, because stuff can happen really, really fast, and there's not really any way to plan for it. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Book of Galatians, chapter 6. Apparently, Nessa is going to help me preach today, and that'll be fine. Would you stand with me as we read God's Word? We honor God's Word here by standing when it's read publicly, and I'd like to read just the first 10 verses this morning from Galatians chapter 6. Brothers, if anyone is caught in a fault, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness, keeping watch on yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For everyone will have to bear his own burden. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Father, we thank you this morning for your word, and sometimes the simplest instructions can bring the greatest joy in our life. And so we want to look at a few of these instructions that you've given to us through Paul in the book of Galatians this morning, in hopes of reaping a great harvest for the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to tell you ahead of time, if you're following along in your Bible, the key verse The key verse in this passage is verse 9 that says this, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up." Some translations say, if we don't quit. Other translations say, if we don't faint. And so I want to look at that this morning and just look at a few of these simple truths that Paul gives us, gives the Galatian church, wrapped around this one verse. Don't quit. Don't faint. Don't give up. I really was looking for an illustration to sort of encapsulate this morning. And early this morning, I woke up. As many of you know, we're waiting every day on news from Kenya with our little girl Winnie over there. And so I check my email first thing every morning to see what's new and developing in her situation. But I read a story this morning that just fascinated me, and I thought, wow, that's the truth. That's the illustration that will really, really bring this to life. Now remember, our key verse is, do not become weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. All of those parts of that sentence, that phrase, are really, really important. But I read this morning that in the Far East, they grow a plant. It's a bamboo tree. It's a Chinese bamboo tree. And I learned some interesting things about it from the little piece that I saw on Facebook. Do you know that it takes 5 years from the time a seed is planted in the ground and covered up and watered, it takes 5 years for a bamboo tree to grow. It has to be tended every day. It has to be watered. The area around it has to be cleaned out. It has to be fertilized. It has to be tended every day. It takes 5 years to grow this tree. And the seedling does not break ground until the fifth year. I remember one time when Robin planted some peas at our house. They didn't grow well because she kept going up to the garden every day and uncovering them to see how they were doing. She wanted to see if her peas were growing. For some reason, they never seemed to develop. So anyway, this tree, this bamboo tree, does not break through the ground until year 5. But once it breaks ground, once the seedling comes through the ground, in 5 weeks, it grows 90 feet. I sat there in my bed this morning and I went, that's just the illustration I needed today. That's it. Now let me ask you a question. Did this Chinese bamboo tree grow to the height of 90 feet in 5 weeks or in 5 years? Well, the answer is, the answer is obvious. It grew to 90 feet in 5 years. The process took 5 years. The evidence was only seen in the last 5 weeks. The scriptures say, do not become weary in well-doing, for in due season your bamboo tree will grow if you don't quit. At any point, if the person who had planted this tree or those trees had given up, had said, this thing is never going to happen. I'm tired of this. I'm going to go check my peas and see how they're growing. Verses 1 through 10 of chapter 6 of Galatians is a record of good harvest. It's a record of the things that we can engage in our lives that will bring good harvest to our lives, to the lives of our friends, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. There's good counsel here. But the key to all of the counsel that Paul gives here is don't quit. Don't give up. Over the almost 50 years I've been in the ministry, I've seen so many people walk away from the faith, I believe, just shy of seeing God work. Just a minute, just a week, just a day, just a year. Quit, because I'm not seeing results. I think this morning of our team, we've got a team actually in October going to Cameroon. I think of that team of faithful World Team missionaries there who worked for 20 years among the Baka without seeing a single convert. They literally had churches send teams to come and visit, and when they left, the church cut off their support. They said, "You're not getting the job done." They went and they didn't see a building with a bell on it and pews and an organ at the front, so they said, "You haven't established a church." And I believe those churches quit just a little bit too early. I remember saying to Nathan and Laurel and Barry and Desma when we were there in a long time ago, 2008, and they were sharing with us that churches were dropping their support, churches were quitting, they were walking away because they said they weren't getting bang for their buck. And I remember saying to those missionaries, "Well, I'm going to guarantee you something. Agape is going to be with you to the end." And oh, how happy I am that we waited, that we stuck with it, that we stood by them. Because it was not too long after that till we got pictures from a river in Cameroon of the baptism of the first Baka believers. And the next year we received more pictures from Cameroon of Baka believers being baptized by Baka elders. And we're seeing a training center being built there where they're training men to go off into the rainforest and to tell the stories of Jesus and their salvation. And Baka people are being saved, transformed, trained, and released into ministry. Why? Because those people there didn't quit. God had called them, and they went. They didn't grow weary in well-doing. They didn't get discouraged and say, "Well, nothing's happening here. There's not going to be any fruit here. Nothing's growing here. The shoot hasn't broken through the ground yet. But my goodness, when it came through the ground, it exploded like that bamboo tree. And now we're really on the cusp of seeing a church established among the Baka. It's a miracle. It's a wonderful thing. But it's rooted in the faithfulness and the diligence of faithful men and women who continued to water, who continued to weed, who continued to counsel, who continued to teach, who continued to live among those people and demonstrate the life of Christ. Now, what I want to do is walk down through this a little bit and look at some of these verses and see what Paul is telling us to do. The first one is very interesting. It's very interesting because depending on which translation of the words you use, it becomes very powerful. Now, I use the ESV, the English Standard Version. This is what it says. It says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." I like some of the other translations because the real clearest meaning of that word caught is overtaken. It's overtaken. Run down. How many of you have ever been overtaken by your own weakness? Anybody? Anybody here ever been overtaken, just run down by your own weakness, by your own sinfulness, by your own flesh, by your own carnality? It sneaks up on you, doesn't it? Sometimes you think, boy, I got this thing down. I'm a spiritual man. And then all of a sudden, I just get run down by my own weakness. I think there are a lot of people in here who could testify to that. Here's what Paul says. Paul says, if any brother, and he's talking to brothers and sisters here now, he's talking to those of us in this room together. He says, if anybody in this room is ever overtaken by their own sin, by their own flesh, by their own weakness, you, now watch it. He says, you who are spiritual, not you who are good at seeing everybody else's faults. You know, that's a spiritual gift according to some people. Right in there with love and joy and peace and prophecy and miracles, there's also criticism, seeing faults. God has given me that gift. I can see all of your faults. I can see them before you do. And I'm telling you, and as my ministry, I make sure everybody else knows about your faults because that's my ministry. He's not talking to you. If that's your ministry, he's not talking to you. He says, you who are spiritual, and I love this word here, restore. Doesn't say shoot. Abandon, toss them out on their head. It says, you who are spiritual, restore. Let me tell you something about God's discipline. God's discipline is always restorative. It is never punitive. You see, Jesus, here's the logic of the thing. Jesus took your punishment. How many of you know that? As a believer, as someone who has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as someone who has acknowledged Him as Lord, as someone who has acknowledged Him as Savior, Jesus took my punishment. He did that at the cross. I don't know if you're aware of that's what Jesus was doing, but He was being punished for your sins. All right? So, God is not interested now, if you are in Christ, if you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, if you're part of the household of faith, God is not interested in punishing you when you're overtaken in your sinfulness. His goal is to restore you. Do you know when God sent Israel off to Babylon for the whole nation for 70 years? Because of their rebellion, because of their idolatry, because of their sinfulness. You know, God wrote to them through the prophets, particularly Jeremiah, and He said, what I'm doing is a good thing for you. I'm sure that way off in Babylon, they were having a hard time seeing that. He said, what I'm doing, I have a plan. I have a good plan. This is what Jeremiah 29:11 is really all about. It's not making you rich and giving you a car in every garage. Where God says, I know my plans for you and they're for good and for not evil. Oh, good, God's going to make me rich. No, I'm going to restore you to your walk with me. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to turn my back on you. I'm not going to leave you in a pile of body parts and say, there, that'll teach you to disobey me. He says, no, I'm going to restore you. And that's what that Babylonian diaspora was all about. Now, I want to say to you, here's what God says to us. We have to walk in the same spirit of Christ. He says, those of you who are spiritual, when a brother is overtaken in a fault, in a spirit of gentleness, seek to restore that one to fellowship in God. You remember in Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son who went off to a far country and wasted his goods on riotous living. You know all of the Bible terminology there. His father sat on the porch every night, watching, waiting for him to return. His son finally, the Bible says in Luke 15, he says he came to his senses. He said, I don't really like sitting in pig slop waiting on the pigs to get finished to eat so I can eat. This is not really what I was expecting when I took off to a far country, decided to have a good time. I don't like this anymore. I need to go home to my father's house. Now, I want to share with you that throughout the story of the prodigal son was never known as anything but a son. Never called him anything else. He was his son. The father in the story was never called anything but his father. The man did not lose his sonship. He lost his fellowship. And what he needed to have restored was not his sonship, but his fellowship. Our sin, if we fall, if we're overtaken in a fault, doesn't cause us to no longer be sons or daughters. It causes us to be out of fellowship with our Father. And what he wants to do is to restore our fellowship. Now, I'll warn you, sometimes that restoration process can feel an awful lot like punishment. But it's never meant to destroy. It's always meant to restore. Likewise, when we get involved in the lives of our brothers and sisters, when we get involved in the lives of each other, when we're overtaken in a fault, several things should be on our mind. This is my brother. This is my sister. My goal is not to ostracize them from the family. My goal is to restore to fellowship. Top priority. He says, you who are spiritual, restore one another, restore him in a spirit of gentleness, and be careful. Be careful. It's awfully easy for me to fall into my own sin while I'm trying to correct someone else and not even realize it. Secondly, I love this here. There's actually two things here that I want to look at. Down in the next verse, it says, bear one another's burdens, and in so doing, fulfill the law of Christ. Can you see that there? It says, bear one another's burdens. Lift up. How many of you have ever had a burden? Okay, yeah, a couple of you. Yep, me, I did. The big guy, he's got one, all right? Sometimes burdens come to our life, difficulties. It may come in trying to support our families. It can be in trying to keep our families together. It can be relational. It can be financial. It can be medical. It can be spiritual. There are burdens that come. Sometimes it's a burden of responsibility. Sometimes our responsibilities get heavy, don't they? They get heavy. They weigh us down. You can see men get depressed. You see men get discouraged. You see men despair. We see all the time men who get so under burdens that they take their own lives, or they run off. They just leave the house one day and don't come back because the burdens are so heavy. And Paul says to here that one of the responsibilities that we have as a follower of Jesus Christ is when we can and where we can to try to bear one another's burdens. I want to just tie this down a little bit to another sentence that comes down here. So let me read from that part. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. Let every man bear his own burden. Now it seems like Paul is talking, wait a minute, hold, stop. He just said, bear one another's burdens. And now he turns around and says, let every man bear his own burden. I don't know if any of you ever remember the Good News Bible. Anybody ever remember that? It's one of the first paraphrases that ever came out. The Good News Bible. You're old enough to remember one of those. Oh, you have one. Pretty tattered right now, isn't it? It was a paraphrase of the scriptures. I didn't like it very much because I thought it was really weak in the way that it paraphrased things. But periodically in the New Testament, it would draw a picture, little stick figures, to outline what it was saying. And one of the drawings I thought was really, really clever, and it exemplified these scriptures here, these two scriptures, really beautifully. It showed a long line of people, and each one of them had a sack on their back. That was their burden. They were carrying their burden. It was the burden of responsibility. It was the burden of financial responsibility and family responsibilities and work responsibilities and all of those things that burden us down. And everybody had a sack on his back, so everybody was carrying a burden. But the guy behind had one hand on the burden of the guy in front of him. And I thought, wow, that is an excellent illustration of what we all have responsibilities. Amen? We all have burdens. We all have things that we're responsible to do. There are some burdens that are yours to carry. They're not somebody else's. We've talked about this a lot. There are responsibilities that men who have families, wives and children and households, there are responsibilities that belong to you. They don't belong to somebody else. You're not supposed to try to get somebody else to take care of your responsibility. And yet we live now in a culture that says, I have responsibilities. Pay for it. Send me a check. Take care of me. I don't want to have to go to work every day. Come on, put a check in my mailbox. Let's make sure that the school systems take care of my children and that some organization, some agency takes care of my children. Let's send the kids to church because at church they'll learn about Jesus there. And we're always trying to find someone to carry our burden for us. And the Word of God says, let every man bear his own burden. There are responsibilities that we have, and they belong to us. I believe, I've taught it for years here, that it is a responsibility of a mom and dad to teach their children the Word of God. They should not expect simply just to bring their children off and dump them at the church and say, the church is going to teach my children the Word of God. That's a very dangerous practice. And I'm not saying because the church is dangerous, because it's out of God's order. Children should be hearing the Word of God from their mom and dad. Moms and dads should be taking responsibility for the children. I read the other day where some school system is showing some very explicit sexually oriented videos. And there were some parents who would say, well, I'd really like to see what videos you're showing my children. And the school system said, nope. You can't see it. You're not allowed to see it. It's our responsibility, not yours. We'll show your children what they need to see. Oh my goodness, what a storm would be in that school if somebody told me that. Amen?
Amen.
Those are not your children. Amen. Those are my children. God gave them to me. I'm responsible for what they learn. I'm responsible for what they see. I'm responsible for what you teach them and how you may want to indoctrinate them. I believe that's my burden to bear. It's not somebody else's burden. Amen? Sometimes my burden gets to be too heavy. Sometimes I get into a place where I can no longer carry the burden that the enemy and the world keeps piling on top of me. Right? Sometimes I need help. Somebody say amen. Sometimes I need help. My wife and I were talking about a friend of ours the other day who really needs help, but he won't say to anybody, I need help. I'm drowning here. My back is breaking here. I need help. And so we went to this guy and we said, look, we want to help. We know you can't carry this alone. We want to help. What do we want to do? We want to put our hand under that sack on his. We got our own responsibilities. We've got our own burdens. We've got our own things to carry. But we've got a friend who needs help. And the Word of God says, bear one another's burdens. But there's good news, and it's not even a part of this passage, but I couldn't really leave it out. You know what 1 Peter 5:17 says? It says, sometimes my burden is too heavy to carry alone. And sometimes, I just wanted to make sure I'm giving you the right scripture there. It's 1 Peter 5:7, not 17. Sometimes my burden is just too heavy. I need help. And so I need brothers and sisters to come along and to help me. Lift, just a little lift, just a little help to carry my burden. And sometimes a burden comes along that's too heavy for all of us to carry. And 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. Sometimes we just have to come together and take all those burdens and throw them at the feet of Jesus and say, I'm outmatched, Lord. I'm over. The weight is just too much to carry. Lord, would you carry? I'm doing what I can do to carry my own burden. I'm doing what I can do to carry my brother's burdens, but the burden is too great. Will you come? Can we cast it at your feet? Because He is the great burden bearer. He carries our burdens. So, bearing one another's burdens, bearing our own burden, casting our burdens at the feet of Jesus, and then down in verse 7, it says, and this is what I just put there. I just put on my little, see, I've got these huge notes today, all right? Sow good seed. Sow good seed. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever one sows, that will he reap. I don't know how many of you are old enough. I'm old enough to remember this. We grew up in a generation, George and I did, when it was kind of a thing of family pride when Junior went out to sow his wild oats. Well, you know, he'll get over, but right now he's sowing his wild oats. I've sowed a few wild oats. I confess it. George, you ever sow a wild oat or two? Yeah, Sandy said you did. There's a few people in this room that have sowed some wild oats. Amen? Do you know what kind of crop you get when you sow wild oats? Wild oats. It's amazing how we think we can go out and sow wild oats and get good wheat. I was visiting in a hospital one time with a man who was undergoing surgery for the umpteenth time on some joint in his body. And he looked at me. I was so proud of him. He looked at me and I said, well, what are you doing here again? He said, I am reaping the harvest of my youth. Don't laugh, Kenny. I've seen you this week. You've been reaping the harvest of your youth. It's amazing when you plant certain seeds, what comes up. But it's amazing to me how many of us plant certain seeds. We plant okra and we want corn. I use that illustration because I don't like okra. I would never plant a single plant of that greasy stuff, and I'm a southerner. You're laughing. Phil, what are you laughing about? You like okra, huh? No. I don't. There are some human beings that like okra, but they're weird. You like okra, David? Oh, I'm sorry I called you weird, but that's weird. Further south than I did, that's right. My bane was always Brussels sprouts. Oh, can't stand those things. Everybody says, oh, they're just like cabbage. I go, no, they ain't. No, they ain't. My son likes Brussels sprouts. He loves that. He puts them in some kind of... No, listen, here's what I'm saying. Is that whatever kind of seed... You know, the Word of God says, if a man wants friends, he must show himself to be friendly. I met a woman one time. I was somewhere else. And they introduced Barbara and I. We were visiting. And she came up afterwards and she said, oh, you're from Agape Christian Fellowship in Brattleboro, Vermont? And I went, yes, ma'am. She said, unfriendliest church I've ever been in my life. She said, I visited there one time. Not a single person spoke to me. I said, really? I said, I find that hard to believe, but tell me about it. Well, here's the story she told me. She got here 15 minutes after the service started, and she left 20 minutes before it ended. But nobody spoke to me. I said to her, I think we were all focused on Jesus right about that time. We really didn't have time for you. You know, if you come and sit down in a corner with your arms folded and glare at everybody, probably nobody's going to speak to you. Whatever a man sows, he reaps. You know, if you cheat people, you're eventually going to get cheated. If you steal, you're eventually going to get stolen from. If you lie, people are going to recognize you have no regard for the truth and they're going to lie to you. It is a fact of life that whatever we sow, we reap. Here, Paul says, if we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap the flesh. I had a little girl come to me one time. She was barely 15 years old. She was singing in a group that I was leading at that time, and she said to me, Pastor, I'm going to have to drop out of the group. She said, I'm pregnant. She'd been going with a little boy, and they let themselves get into a situation that they shouldn't have, and she was pregnant. And she said to me, this is exactly what she said. She said, I don't understand how this happened. I'm a Christian. I said, well, let me explain it to you. Christianity is not some kind of birth control. Biology works all the time. That's how you got pregnant. She just, for some reason, thought that Jesus would protect her. She's got a beautiful child, by the way. It's a lovely child. I'm kind of partial to children who are born out of wedlock, since I was one. There are no accidents, but there is the harvest of what we sow. And God says, don't sow to the flesh, sow to the Spirit. Because if we sow to the Spirit, then we reap the things of the Spirit. If we sow love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, meekness, those are the things that will come back. The Word of God says, if we cast our bread upon the water, sooner or later, it will come ebbing back in with the tide. That which we give, we get. That which we sow, we reap. So he says, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. For one who sows to his own flesh will sow to the reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And then he gives the cap, the keystone, the key to the whole thing. Let us not become weary in well-doing. Let us never turn away from the ministry of restoration and reconciliation. Let us never be unwilling to bear our own burdens, and let us always be willing to bear the burdens of those around us. The words really struck me when I read the scripture that says, do not become weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap. I had a fellow come to me one time and he said, you know, I decided to start tithing because somebody told me that if I would tithe, then God would give me back all that I tithed and more. And he said, but I'm not doing that anymore. It doesn't work. I said, really? How long did you tithe? He said, a whole month, 4 weeks. I said, well, let me share something with you. I said, when you plant a seed in the ground, I wish I'd had the bamboo illustration to share with him. I said, when you put a seed into the ground and you cover it up and you water it and you fertilize it, let's say you planted some peas. You're going to go dig them up to see how they're doing. There's a season for harvest. Somebody say amen. There's a season to plant. There's a season to water. There's a season to fertilize, to feed. There's a season to wait. You know, the farmer, we're going to use the illustration of harvesting and reaping and all of those things. The farmer works hard all year long. If you know any farmers, if you've ever been around a farmer, maybe you were a farmer or are a farmer, farmers are the hardest working people I've ever seen in my life. They only have harvest one time a year, but they work all year long for that harvest. They work through famine. They work through drought. They work through frost and freezing. They work. And when one crop fails, they don't go, I'm not doing that anymore. They are faithful because they know that harvest only comes in due season. I was really impressed. We were in Kenya and then we were looking at the different things and we looked at these banana groves and I said, how often do you have a harvest on these things? He said, every 4 months we have a new harvest of bananas. And I thought, boy, we've never heard anything like that in America. We have a season for harvesting. And boy, do things get busy. Things get busy when it's harvest time, right? We can go by and those machines are in the field and those cutters are in the field and those choppers are in the field and the pickers are in the field and the guys are harvesting fruit and they're harvesting corn and they're picking vegetables and all those things. And everybody loves August and September and because that's when all the good stuff comes in. Amen? I always say my wife loves to garden. I never plant a garden bigger than I never plow a garden bigger than my wife can take care of. She doesn't let me in the garden except with a plow. Once plants start coming up, I'm forbidden to be in the garden. Because apparently there's a green thumb and a black thumb. Guess which one I got? The only time she lets me hold vegetables, I'm getting ready to make a mater sandwich. Or cook some corn. Don't you love harvest? Harvest is wonderful. Fresh apples, pick your own strawberries, go apple picking, go peach picking, go pear picking. We love harvest.
Get the troll, don't get them first.
Be nice. Yeah, the farmer's got to work through squirrels too, buddy. I got to tell you. Listen, here's the truth of this scripture. Don't give up. There's a harvest coming. Don't give up. There's a harvest coming. Don't quit. He lists all of these things. These are good works, but these are works that move us toward the harvest. Let us never stop trying to restore those who are overtaken. Let us never stop trying to bear one another's burdens. Let us never fail to keep and bear our own responsibilities. Let us sow good seed and then be patient. It may take a while for that seedling to break through the ground. But that bamboo tree in the last weeks, 90 feet straight up. And that's how sometimes the breakthrough comes with God. We wait, we water, we work, we labor, we're diligent, we're faithful. There are times of famine, there are times of failure, there's times of drought, there's times of discouragement, there's times of disappointment. There's all of those things. And all the while, we're going along and we're seeing people quit. We're seeing people turn away. We're seeing people get tired. We're seeing people get mad. And all of those things. And God says, don't quit. Don't quit, because the harvest will come. The harvest will come. We're praying for a harvest in our community, that men would come to Christ. And my word of encouragement to us today is, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't quit. For in due season, there's a season of harvest coming. And we cannot quit. Amen. Let's pray. Father, help us to be diligent. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be tenacious and stubborn. Help us to not be quitters, but to continue to do the work that you've given us to do. To continue to bring life. To bear one another's burdens. To speak life into one another's life. To sow good seed, spiritual seed, and not seeds to the flesh. But Lord, help us most of all. Most of us don't have a problem with what we should do. We get tired and we get weary, and we get discouraged, and we get filled with despair, and we think the harvest is never coming. And your word gives us clear direction this morning. Do not become weary in well-doing, but in due season we shall reap if we don't quit. Father, help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.